This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Here we go. Hour one, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're off and running a beautiful little Monday here in North Texas. Thanks for making us part of your day. There's Broadus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. It's draft week, brother. How you
doing?
How
about that? Had a draft show this morning. Have a draft show tomorrow. Have a draft show on Wednesday. Have a draft on Thursday. Have a draft on Friday. I'm ready to draft.
How about Saturday?
Saturday, I get to draft too.
Drafting his balls off.
We'll be drafting. It should be a lot of fun. Appreciate the platforms we have here, on the station, but also on DallasCowboys.com. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Appreciate everybody that's been kind of following along with us on that.
Salute to you guys.
Thank you.
And you're doing a heck of a job putting this thing together.
Appreciate
for us.
Man.
It's amazing. You can follow along, 105thethefan.com. Is your big board up there yet?
Yeah, what they're starting to do is they're posting, like, I just retweeted. They did quarterbacks, tight ends, and wide receivers. I mean, it's a couple different things. So instead of posting the whole board, they're taking the individual positions and post them. And then my whole stack, all my players that I've done.
The big dog,
and give them the order that I would take the players in. That's coming out tomorrow. So I'm just trying to keep 105.3 The Fan on the website if you're not a Twitter person. And then if you are a Twitter person, then I'll just keep retweeting when they post those links and stuff like that.
Of course, you have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Eric Chiafalo is here. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. Woolchuck is out. Well, obviously, we got so much to get to with the Rangers, Stars, and Mavericks, and Scotty, and a big sports weekend and a big sports week here coming up. Do you have a good idea who they're going to take yet? Is it wide open? What do you think?
No, I think, Gavin, just the way timelines work, I'm going to say they're putting up the finishing touches on their boards, their stack and their board, and then the next 3 days, they're going to work on mock drafts and situations of trying to go back, trying to go up. You know, they ran simulations during the CeeDee Lamb pick where they never got CeeDee Lamb to them. So you have to be a little bit more open about it. Okay, let's try and take somebody that we don't think is going to be Fuaga, the tackle from Oregon. A lot of people have him in the top 12 on a board. Take a simulation where he somehow gets to you at 24. You know, you'd probably be prepared to take,
hammer it.
But if he were to get to a certain level, would you be interested in moving up?
Ooh.
Graham Barton. Another guy.
Zach's pet cat.
Really good player from Duke.
Plays the piano.
He's probably petting that guy right now.
He is petting that guy right now for sure. If he gets to you in a certain level, are you comfortable letting him just slide through and see if he can get to you, or are you interested in maybe making a small move up? They're trying to work out this medical situation right now too, guys. And, how comfortable are they going to be taking
Powers Johnson,
the center, from Oregon, really good player. He's got some things that you're gonna have to address. So those guys all make sense, but right now, I think that they're looking at their board and saying, okay, how do we think this is gonna fall? But man, you don't know until it actually starts to fall. There's gonna be we did it on DallasCowboys.com this morning. We talked about where we think the run is going to start. And we kind of feel like the run is where the draft for everybody will start is at 12 with the Denver pick. And we've already seen Denver with going up and going out and getting Zach Wilson, the quarterback from the Jets. But we think that when everything kind of shakes out, the draft will start at 12. And then that's where you'll be able to gauge and see where your guys are going to go.
And that's different because, Broadus, usually for you, you were saying the run start with the Chinese buffets.
Oh, man. Usually when they get the soy sauce involved. Soy sauce with the orange chicken.
Dangerous combo.
Dangerous combo right there for sure.
Rangers got homers from Carter, Garcia, and Kisner. Lorenzen went 6, gave up 3. Robertson and Yates got the job done out of the bullpen again, and you beat the Braves 6-4 to salvage the final game in Atlanta.
Another 4-out save there, right?
Kirby, man.
Yeah, Kirby on that one. Jeez.
Continues to be a stud in the big moment. Thank God for him.
Yep, they needed that one. I tell you what, though, that was a I don't know if it's going to get any tougher for them. All those 17 games and, you know, all those days, no days off, and, you know, to be 500 basically as you're working through it, I think that's something you would probably you would say, yeah, they're not playing great. They gave away a couple, but I'd also say if you said they could get through that thing 500, you'd be pretty happy about that.
Oh yeah, to be sitting here at 12-11 on that road trip, they were 500. I mean, you take it, you know, good for first place still, half game better than Seattle. M's are off
coming
tonight
to town
as well.
Yeah, they're coming in town. You know, yeah, so got Seattle for 3 starting tomorrow. So maybe you can find a way to put a little distance on them the next 3 nights and a day. I'm sorry, two nights and a day.
Thursday's game is going to be a 1:35 start, by the way.
Yeah.
So you want to prepare yourself for that. You know, get over to the channel as you know quickly as possible early afternoon and, you know, enjoy that bad boy. We'll probably be on about 4:30 or 5, something like that.
Yeah, I think I'll be over there. You guys are you guys going to be pluckering or, because I don't know. I think I'm at the Star.
Yeah, you'll be at the Star. You'll already be with the draft day get up on, I presume, your 2024 bow tie.
Yeah, ready to roll.
Looking forward to seeing you bust that thing out. And everybody is anxiously awaiting whether or not you will lend Walchuk one of your draft night bow ties.
I will.
Or if you will say, no, I'm the only bow tie king up in here.
No, I'm going to. It's funny. I'm thinking about not giving him a bow tie because I let Sean borrow one last year, and it was a kind of a questionable draft.
You could say that again.
Ooh, bad bow tie luck.
So I'm thinking about giving, I got a tie I could give Walchuk that has all the NFL helmets on it.
Okay.
Like a red one with all the NFL helmets.
Be careful. He's going to Sharpie X out the Eagles helmet and
If he has to, he could do what he wants, but I'm not thinking about giving him a bow tie. Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking maybe that was a bad omen last year.
Trust your gut on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Stars are in an incredible position. Hottest goaltender in the game. Game one of their series with Las Vegas is tonight. Yeah. And Vegas got them 4-2 last year. And they are getting healthy at the right time with their Capitan, Mark Stone, returning possibly this evening. Mm. But the Stars are much different than last year, aren't they, Brian?
Better goaltending right now, I would say.
Otter's coming in hot.
Yeah, their goalie's doing a really nice job. And the fact that this is home ice, I think, really, really helps. You know, the Stars, I was listening to the Hockey Hawk this morning, trying not to talk over everybody's head, you know. Hard to do when you're talking hockey. Not everybody knows hockey, so got to be careful about that. Kind of like I'm careful about football.
You know, you can't mix it up with your blue line passes and your icings.
Yeah, you can't talk about third lines and, you know, fourth lines and, you know, that kind of thing. Got to be careful.
Toss around a couple of forechecks.
Got to be careful.
Get out of there, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We're lucky to have the Hockey Hawk here to be able to explain things to us, though. I learned something.
Even if he does have to dumb it down?
If you have to dumb it down, you have to dumb it down. I know the feeling, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
Well, I feel like here with the Stars, I mean, maybe it's not that noticeable for if you're on the outside looking in, but their bottom 5 players from last year's run are gone.
Yeah.
And you got Duchesne, you got Tanev at the trade deadline.
Right.
And then you've had young guys like Harley and Stankoven and Wyatt Johnston emerge into like core good players. So like this organization is just so damn good right now at identifying, developing talent, and then coaching it. We're at a spot now where we can expect greatness. You know, we're not hoping for greatness like the previous Stars runs or like a Mavs run where you're like, oh, wow, if things line up, this could happen. It should happen for this team.
Yeah, I think the Hawk made a good point this morning too about Robertson. You know, they were the guys asked him how do a guy like that last year he was a little quiet in the playoffs, a little bit frustrated. The Hawk said, "Hey, find a way to get to the net. You know, the good things happen when you get in front of that net. You never know tip pucks. You know, but the puck kind of bounces. You might get a rebound there. He's really good, the quick hands. So, yeah, I mean, to me, there's – I think Dallas is better equipped. It's obvious the way that the season went for them and how, you know, they were able to win as many games as they were, and then they were able to win it whether it was on the road or at home ice. So
This is a much more difficult Stars team to have to defend too. If you're Vegas, last year it's like, hey, can we take out Haskinen? Then all of a sudden it's just you don't have the different options. Now it's how many guys do you have that are a threat to score? It feels like it's endless for the Stars. Last year they entered the playoffs, they had 7 players who had reached at least 30 points. This year they have 8 with more than 50.
Yeah. Mm.
So they can hit you in a lot of different ways now. You mentioned Otter. I'm curious, like, are they going to throw Logan Thompson between the pipes, or is it going to be Aiden Hill, the guy that they leaned on last year, who is their champion, but he's been banged up this year, a little bit more inconsistent, but you just go with that guy. But they do have 2 guys that, you know, they I just don't know what that rotation is going to be. I would expect Aiden Hill gets the start just because you're the guy with the skins on the wall.
Right.
And so we'll see how that one goes. But ultimately, I just think the offense now for the Stars is so much more difficult to stop.
Yeah, and the defense is legit. You know, between Ottinger and the additions that they've made, there just aren't as many games where it's getting away from you in a hurry like was happening this time last year. Okay, reactions of being down 1-0 to the Clippers have been interesting today. I'm just trying to wrap my head around everything. Jason Kidd did, lose all 3 game ones in 2022. Physicality and nastiness is something that, you know, maybe an inexperienced playoff core isn't ready for, or your guys just have a flat night. Whatever it was, they weren't ready. Do you guys think they'll get off the mat after the first round knockdown there against the Clippers, or was yesterday a good indicator how this series is going to go?
I would expect them to get off the mat and it be a much different situation moving forward. They're not gonna shoot that bad, and as good as the Clippers can shoot, they were sort of shooting out of their mind. When you go 18 of 36 from the 3-point line and Russell Westbrook's going 2 of 4 and James Harden's turning back the clock, like I don't know how consistent that is going to be, but they do have other guys that can knock down some shots. So they are going to shoot well, but I don't know that the Clippers will shoot that well again in the series, and the Mavericks cannot shoot that bad. So that's a starting place there. But I still don't know that you're going to – I want to see what their answer is to Tyronn Lue, because that's one of the X-factor things that he just – and it's easy to just forget about the guys on the sideline, but he is absolutely helping his team, and you can see it. You can see how much he's helping his team just out of timeouts. I mean, the way they started the game, his team showed up ready to go.
Right.
Jason Kidd's team shows up, and they're sleepwalking, and Luke is doing – he's heat-checking in the first 5 seconds of the game. Like, there was no plan. There was no strategy. It's just go out there and let Luka dribble, I guess. And that's on Luka for sure, but that's definitely on Jason Kidd as well. And every time Tyronn Lue calls a timeout, boom, he's coming and smacking you with something. And so you can go on your runs, and okay, you're chipping away, timeout, draw something up, guaranteed bucket here. Sometimes it's bucket, stop, bucket. And now all of a sudden, Mavs, you were just on a nice little run, and now we're up 4 before you've even blinked here after the timeout, because Tyronn Lue knows what he's doing, and he dominated your coach yesterday. Sean, RJ, and Bobby are giving Jason Kidd the biggest pass I've ever seen, and I'm going, what are you talking about, dude? His team did not show up. His team was not ready to play.
Yeah.
And there was not a single month. You can talk about Luka getting the 30, whatever, and him and Kyrie got going. Yeah, what did Tyronn Lue say after the game? We stopped our plan in the second half. It didn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't have to do the blitzing. Sure, you guys can go ahead and get going. We're just milking a giant, nasty, historic lead because you guys sucked so bad in the first half. We can take our foot off the gas. And when you go on some runs, I'll call the timeout. I'll draw up the play. We'll get the bucket, and you'll go back to sucking.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of feel like it's going to be very difficult for the road team to win any one of these games. I think the energy that you get, the energy in Los Angeles was great yesterday with them, but the way that they played was even better. Your guys are right. They came out with the being ready. I was talking to some people in LA with the team about it, and they said, hey, we came out, we were awful. Didn't shoot well, didn't play well enough, you know, got it handed to us. And, you know, they were like, hey, we'll make adjustments, move on. But I think you're absolutely right about Lue as a coach. I do. I think he had his guys ready. I think he's got a plan. I think him and his staff have an idea how they want to attack. You know, they're going to say, okay, fine. We'll figure out with Luka and Kyrie Irving. We'll figure out them. But the rest of you guys aren't going to beat us. That kind of plan. So to me, I feel like this could be Dallas could come home down 2-0, but then very well find a way to once these home games. I think whoever breaks serve at home that's probably going to be the team that wins this. I just think it's going to be whoever's got the home court that night is going to find a way to win it.
Great game from the Clippers last night. We'll see what the Mavs do. I think they're going to come out embarrassed, you know, and on fire.
That might not matter.
Yeah.
You're right. It might not matter if
shots got to fall. But yeah. At least you're going to get the effort and I think a lot better rebounding, a lot better rim protection. Jets trading Zach Wilson to the Broncos. That's breaking. More on that coming up in around the NFL a little bit later on. But, you know, apparently your guy, Sean Payton, thinks he can still get something out of him. Maybe as a backup, plan.
I haven't talked to Sean, since all this draft process has started and all that. Be interested what he sees. You know, Sean, I know my experience with Sean. He was one of the best quarterback evaluators I've ever been around. From the coaching side of things, Scott McLuhan, who we were talking about earlier, who was the Commanders GM, was with the old Packers, Seattle, and all. He was one of the best scout evaluators that I've ever been with when it came to quarterbacks. So evidently Sean feels like that he can find a way to get this guy to play a little bit better than the Jets could.
You should text him and say, you just traded for the Nathaniel Hackett of quarterbacks.
You want me to do that?
Isn't this going back to last year, their beef between the two organizations? He's like, watch this. I'm going to take their guy and actually make him pretty good.
I'm going to
show you how pathetic this dude is.
Yes. I heard he kind of did it with Russell Wilson, not to as much as I wanted, but I definitely proved I can get something out of Russell Wilson in a way that Nathaniel Hackett never could. Well, and now he's going to try it again with old Wilson.
It makes more sense that he actually thinks Zach Wilson can play, Brian.
I'll ask him. Okay. You really think that Zach Wilson can play? See what he says.
This might just be a vengeance.
He might give me the middle finger. I've seen him do that before. He might send me a picture with him showing me the middle finger, and then that would be kind of funny.
Sean Payton's known for maybe sending a middle finger selfie in response to a text. That's awesome.
Well,
dude.
He's that kind. But I'll say this though about like with Sean, you know, he's always believed that he has that kind of ability that he could fit someone's scheme or someone's skill set. And I don't know. I mean, we all kind of thought what Zach Wilson was coming out of BYU, you know, the Jets, the egg is on the Jets' face for drafting the guy. You know, much like the egg is on San Francisco's face for drafting Trey Lance. You're just the Cowboys and the Broncos, you know, picking up the pieces. You're like, hey, you're the guys that made the mistake. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to get the guy's career back on track.
Got G-Bag of the Day is coming up here at 2:30 in 12 minutes. Little Rimmer next. Chief, what do we got?
Game 1 overreactions and the man who stole the show this weekend next year in the Nation.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in about 6 minutes. The segment is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. Franklin Frankel, the go-to attorneys for car and truck wrecks in DFW. You or a loved one's been in an accident, contact the Frankels 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here's the chief.
What's your biggest overreaction to game one? Mavs Clippers, 877-881-1053. We're going to go ahead and cut the lights out, put the kids to bed. G-Bag Nation's going all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when the Mavs have nowhere to go but up from here.
Yes, and I changed my prediction. I think that's a pretty big reaction or overreaction, whatever it is. Salute to the Clippers. I think they got a lot of good things going for them. And while the Mavs have some really nice pieces, I think it really made an impact on me last night that, hey, what you're looking at is just a different skill level of player with the Clippers, and they're so incredibly deep with these kind of guys. They're going to be a nightmare to defend, and they're all great athletes. So during the regular season when they're not defending their balls off, now it's the postseason, you're going to get the great defensive effort from all of their guys, and it's a lot. It's a lot, especially when you have Luka and Kyrie on the court together so much that's already going to impact your athleticism and your physicality. Now you're having to make up for it with your other three guys against one of the most physical, skilled, experienced teams out there.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing that Tyronn Lue did yesterday was absolutely hunt the Kyrie and Luka matchups when the Mavs were on defense. It was like, hey, we are going to, like, these guys are obviously going to be a pain in the rear end for us to, you know, to defend, but we need to make their lives hell when they got to go back on defense, and they absolutely did that yesterday, so that's huge. And then I still think, like, these role players, they're going to end up having to hit these shots. Like, when you do the pick and roll and they're taking away your lob threat, Luka, now you can go and take it and score yourself, which you probably should have done more yesterday. But also, inevitably, he's going to have to find the open guy for the corner three, which is the best shot in basketball, and those guys need to hit it. And so Derrick Jones Jr., Exum, whatever, these role player dudes are going to have to knock down some shots. Kleba's still scared of the basketball in his hands. You're playing 4-on-5 every time when he's on the floor. So, and they understand that. The Clippers know. Like, we just need to make sure, don't give them the easy lobs, and then just make life as much hell as possible on Luka and Kyrie. Nobody else here do we trust to consistently knock down shots. And that's disappointing. We remember there was that section where the Mavs could not, and it was, they were making up for it because defense was looking good, and we're like, okay, well, at least the defense is here. They're winning because, you know, they're not shooting the ball very well. They're 3 points. You're shooting 30% in some of these games, and they would win them because of their defense. But now it's like, you can't afford that. You got to be 35, 36% from three. You can't be 30% from the three, especially versus this Clippers team that knocks them down, man. Yeah.
Well, there is some good news. The 972 just gave me flip flopper of the year.
Yes, sir.
No, way to go.
That's right. I know you had me in that for a couple years.
Wait, already?
Now,
dude, yeah. We're only in April. Give the rest of us a chance.
Well, I was getting ready to throw a parade for you down to McKinney over here for Flip Flopper of the Year.
That's right.
But, like, in the back of a convertible, with a jacket on, waving to people and stuff like that.
We still got silver and bronze up for grabs, though, don't we?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, we can still be in the fight here, fighting for second at this point.
There's still time after the Clippers destroy the Mavs in Game 2 for you guys to join me over here.
I just don't feel like the visiting team is going to win in this series. I mean, I just don't.
Well, they were good. They were both good road teams this year. But once you get into the playoffs, the environment becomes a little bit different. Your role players definitely play better at home, and so that's going to be huge. Mavs need all that they can get. But it was a lot of blowouts, a lot of not great games, really, throughout the weekend. But last night was.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah, no, last night was the one. The final game of the weekend where Oklahoma City, in a back and forth game with no Zion and the Pelicans, you end up having Shai Gilgeous-Alexander making some incredible plays there towards the end, being the young beast that he is, and some great defensive possessions there as well for Oklahoma City to get the job done. But that was the best game of the weekend. The best moment of the weekend was Anthony Edwards really taking the torch from Kevin Durant and saying, it's my time now, bro. And he was getting the MVP chance after the game. The Timberwolves beat the Suns by 25, and there was a viral moment after Anthony Edwards gives Kevin Durant the business offensively with the bucket, and they're up by 16 towards the end of the third quarter, and Anthony Edwards is pounding his chest and just talking all the S to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's just trying not to look at him, but he's smiling. He knows, hey, this is what it is right now. Anthony Edwards is coming for the veteran's throne. The quote here from the lip readers is Anthony Edwards saying to Kevin Durant in the game, can't guard me. What the bleep did I tell you? What did I tell you? Old ass bleep.
Boy, he did look old a couple of times out there.
Oh, he definitely did. Yeah. But the best basketball analysis of the weekend goes to Kendrick Perkins, who says the Miami Heat could go 100% from the field and 100% from the three, and they're still going to get swept in this series to the Celtics.
There it is. Chief with an afternoon rim session. It's time to go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius with your G-Bag of the Day.
Dawson got flopper of the year 4 times in a row.
Yes. They're just giving it to him in April now. Yeah. It's the inevitable award.
Uh-huh. Crazy, bro.
Should have been like this with Jordan, the MVP, just like 12 in a row.
Let's see here. We're going to pass Dawson because he's already got it. We got to find another hater of the year, flopper of the year.
Finish in second.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I'm going to give this one. This is going to be day 5 for Chris Arnold here. The 3-time Hall of Fame Chris Arnold. Where were you when OJ was on his slow speed chase from the LAPD, Chris? Where were you?
Back in the press area in Madison Square Garden, after the chase was about winding up, Robert Kardashian, Kim's dad, and he was representing OJ. He's reading this suicide letter that OJ had written. And we're all standing in the press room. I'm standing next to Ahmad Rashad. And he's going through this letter saying goodbye to people or whatever. And then all of a sudden, he goes, and my good friend Ahmad Rashad. And the whole room looks at Ahmad Rashad. And Ahmad just looks down to the ground. And then he just walks away and got in a limo and just dissed a Pierce, give me a picture, freaking Pierce.
Wow. Saved it.
Excuse me.
Freaking Pierce.
Yeah. Freaking Pierce. Yeah. Where was I?
Sorry.
Yeah. Excuse me. All right, let's see right here.
It's funny every time.
Every time. It that freaking funny. Beard is just so good.
So good, dude.
So fast. Excuse me. Freaking beard. Freaking beard. You don't need to dump that. I said excuse me. let's see. Talladega was this past weekend. Am I right, Broadus?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go to the Rubbing Is Racing podcast where retired NASCAR driver Mark Martin, he is one of them.
Viagra driver.
He is one of... makes sense. Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah, he said Gucci Mane was his favorite rapper. Listen to this.
So I got on to Dr. Dre in about 2000. It was 2002. Kind of evolved from that to Eminem. And then I had one of my son's friends, you know, they were kids, asked me, did I listen to Gucci Mane? I didn't know who it was. So as soon as I found him, it was like crazy. But you couldn't get him on hardly anything on iTunes. You had to go to datpiff.com.
Let's go.
And it was free. All the music was free, but you had to figure out how to download it onto your computer and then put it over to your phone.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you right now, in my opinion, there is no one in the same zip code with Gucci Mane. If I rap, I would never do a duo with him. Every time he does one with anybody, he just crushes them. I do like the old Gucci prior to the last prison much better than the new
last prison.
And I liked his old music. I liked it when he was fat and scary.
Yes. Yes. He said the last prison stint. Yeah, so I'm playing not because, you know, he likes Gucci Mane. I like Gucci Mane. I get it. But because he said that piff. And he likes the old Gucci, not the new Gucci.
When he was fat and scary.
Yeah, when he was scary, bro. Atlanta Zoo. All right, let's see what else.
That was an AI Mark Martin?
That's real. He is one of them.
He is.
All right, let's see what else we got here for you, boys. Oh, yesterday was the church day. Hope you got your blessing and all that good stuff. Shout out to my pastor, Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. And Reverend Ike. Reverend Ike can get your mind right, I'm telling you. All right, I've been battling allergies today for some reason. I'm taking about 12 pills for allergies, still nothing.
Dang.
I don't know what this pastor is battling, though, in his throat.
No weapon that's fine.
You're too much.
I hear God. It's not going to work. Your miracle too powerful. Your miracle comes with an anointing. Your miracle.
Even the mic is screaming.
It is screaming. Yeah.
Get him some water.
Come with the grace to get a demon straight. You are getting ready to boom, blow up.
Hey.
You're getting ready to boom, blow up.
Wow.
Two hours of that would be rough.
Man, come on.
Yeah.
Sound like a zombie there. Maybe he's turning.
Sleaze stack.
Come on, man. That offering better be fire. That man is working hard for you.
Yes.
He is working hard for you. That offering better be lit.
For the love of God, get that man a bottle of wine.
Man, bro. What are we doing? Let's see. Carter sent this one to me. I thought it was hilarious. San Francisco Giants catcher Tom Murphy wasn't a fan of being struck out.
Marlins haven't had a come-from-behind win yet this year, which you see something like that, it always makes you nervous. No. Murphy was just thrilled with that at bat.
Yeah. Yeah. That old boom mic.
Yeah.
And last one right here, OU spring football. A little Spanish booty call.
Oh.
Escopeta booty, doble receptor a cada lado. Retrocede, quiere pase, busca a la izquierda, por el centro se le abre la cancha, va a correr. Tiene espacio, 20, a la 15, a la 10, a la 5, touchdown. Nadie enfrente de General Booty. Entra caminando a la zona de anotación. Touchdown Sooners.
Yes, sir. General Booty.
He was tripping at that last one.
You know, booty.
Yeah. All right, that's it for me, buddy.
Funny name.
Yeah.
In any language.
It is. General Booty. The Booty Brothers.
Is it?
There's a lot of Booty Brothers, right?
There are.
Yeah. A long family.
Yeah. Uncles. Yeah. Evangel down there.
Yeah. Dad Booty was pretty good, too.
Big Booty.
Yeah.
They're all athletes.
Yeah.
Is it our four-time champ, C.A.? Current favorite for G-Bag of the Year, by the way. Is it Mark Martin? Talking about Gucci Mane. Wow.
That man said Dat Piff. He's listening to the real Gucci.
Is it the pastor battling a throat demon of some sort? Murphy was just thrilled with his at-bat.
Gucci with the Bart Simpson on his chest. I'm telling you. Ice cream on his face.
The ice cream. Yeah. My gosh. I forgot about that.
Or is it OU spring football? Chief, who are you voting for? I'm not sure right now.
I'm going with the champ.
Lucius?
Mark Martin, man.
Brian?
Chris Arnold.
I want to make it interesting and vote for Mark Martin.
Is that pasta?
Okay, so jump on to @GBagNation's X account there. You can follow us all when you get there. Our links are inside the bio there to all of our handles and whatnot. But is it Mark Martin or is it CA looking for five right here? It's the G-Bag of the day. And again, @GBagNation. Follow us when you get there. We'll follow you right back. Brian, where are we going next with the corner?
Yeah, some of my stuff from boards and stacks are being posted. I want to go through a couple of those with you and talk about some of these players in particular. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Lucius. Congrats to CA. Just made it five-time G-Bag of the day status, winning by a percentage of 60-40 against Mark Martin there in your G-Bag of the Day. It is time now for your favorite Krusty segment of the day. It's Krusty's Corner with Brian Broaddus, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the king himself, Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
Salute.
And also wanted to say thanks to also, if I could, to Shell Shack for having me out on Saturday.
I heard you tore it up out there, dude.
It was
Mardi Gras Broaddus a little bit.
I kind of kept it. I kept it in the lane. I kept it in the lane, but I learned about how they do crawfish and stuff there. We kind of traded some ideas back and forth.
I was about to say, I know you were giving them tips.
They were. It was fun to watch somebody else make crawfish than when you don't have to be the responsible one.
You were armchair quarterbacking.
I really was trying not to.
Trying?
I was trying not to.
I believe you were trying.
I was trying not to.
How different would your process have been than theirs?
Their soak is different than mine. Remember I always talk about how important the soak to get the flavor.
Inside meat, not just on the shell.
Yeah, not on the shell. But that the soak is different in that way. And so, but I understand they do some things like the way they use citrus. I'm not a big citrus. I use like lemon juice. Things like that to try and incorporate flavor, but a lot of oranges and then a lot more with the limes and stuff like that. So yeah, they incorporate a lot more citrus, and I was like, okay, I see it, because some of these companies have come up with product that is like citrus, like a powder that you could pour as part of if when you're using your liquid and then your boil, you could kind of combine the two. But using fresh citrus was an interesting.
Might add that to the old arsenal, huh?
Might have to add that one. Gives a little bit. I learned a little bit from them today. I mean, I really, really did. But thank you to them for having me out on Saturday. I really, really appreciate that. All right. I tweeted out. I mentioned my rankings of my players by position.
Draft week.
And so every day, there's going to be a position group or two that's going to get released. Tomorrow will be my complete stack. You can see how I have all the players in this draft that I've done, have them all in order for you, and you can kind of follow along. Somebody on Twitter asked me, they go, how close do you think your board is going to be to McClay's? I said, I hope not close at all. To be honest with you, no.
Does McClay ever text you and be like, hey, let me get a look-see. Let me get a little look-see here, boy. Let's put both our boards on the table.
There's two teams of my gang of seven that asked for my board.
Just a little food for thought, huh?
Yeah, and maybe they'll use that as a mock draft. Because when we used to do mock draft stuff, I used Rick Goslin's top 100 that he used to do. I used to use it because sometimes you don't want to get it to where you're using your board because you can't get the players. You can't get the players right. You know, Rick was really good at getting a consensus of from all the general managers around the league. So where his players ranked were based on where he saw them fit and was told. So you want to be able to talk about it and say, okay, well, we have this guy a lot higher. We have this guy a lot lower. You want to be able, when you're doing your mock, you want to be as true as you can. There's a couple of players I like to point out. We got the wide receivers, tight ends on the first group. And I want to talk just specifically about a couple of players in each round that I have. If you go through, I have Neighbors from LSU, Harrison Odunze, and Brian Thomas from LSU. Those are my first-round wide receivers. I'd like to talk about Rome Odunze from Washington. And he's the 8th overall player on my stack. This guy, I think, has a chance to be as good as Neighbors and maybe even as Marvin Harrison when it comes to his career. I think the team that gets him is going to get a dynamic player, an exceptional route runner, a guy that will extend for the ball, a guy that makes circus catches, a guy that's extremely tough. I would not be surprised if whoever took him, he had the best career of Neighbors from LSU, Harrison from Ohio State, as those top two guys.
How far you think he could fall?
I think he's going to go somewhere in the top 7 or 8. I think when you start to look at, you know, where people are going to see these guys, of course, differently. I think the top 3 are kind of either Harrison, Neighbors, Odunze, or Neighbors.
Some combination of those three are the top 3.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if he was the best. And I think if the Giants were to grab him at their pick in that first round, that would be something you're going to have to worry about. In the second round there, I want to talk about a player on the wide receiver crew, Ladd McConkey from Georgia. And I've got Coleman from Florida State, Mitchell from Texas, Corley from Western Kentucky, McConkey from Georgia, and Worthy from Texas are my second-round wide receivers. But I want to talk about Ladd McConkey from Georgia. Here's another one of these guys. If you thought that Puka Nacua was a good player for the Rams, this guy's better. This is that type of player. This guy is a slot, outside, run after catch, catch everything, take routes inside, break outside, catch first downs, or convert third downs to first downs.
Oh, it's third and McConkey?
Easy.
So why isn't he a first-round wide receiver? Just because there's so many?
There's somebody. There are people that would probably have him on their board over Brian Thomas from LSU.
Wow.
Yeah.
So maybe he does get picked in the first round.
I think there's a possibility that we could see him go somewhere between 29 and 32.
Get Pat Mahomes, McConkey?
If he ends up in San Francisco or Kansas City, it would make absolute perfect sense, especially if San Francisco is trying to move on from Brandon Ayuk.
I keep seeing it.
If they move on from Brandon Ayuk, there's your replacement right there.
Wow, okay.
In the second round there. In the third round here, I want to talk about Ricky Pearsall from Florida. He is another one of those guys that when you watch him play, I feel like he can play outside, he can play inside. The thing about him is that he catches everything thrown in his direction. When we do mock drafts for the Cowboys, and it gets to the third round for where the Cowboys are going to pick, they're at 87, and if he's on the board, I fight my ass off to try and get the group to pick him.
Really?
Is what I do. I mean, that to me would be the best player on the board if you started to look at the entire board. I have him as player 61 on my board, so I kind of feel he's a little bit of a higher, maybe a second-round guy. But in the third round here, I would think that someone is going to steal a player from everybody. Whoever picks Ricky Pearsall from Florida is going to get a tremendous player.
So if he's there in the third round and you haven't taken your back yet, would you, Brian Broaddus, take the receiver?
Less
of the need,
yes,
but
yeah.
Better player.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd absolutely.
And it's a sneaky need.
I'd absolutely do that. All right. I want to get down into the tight ends now here in my last few minutes. I know that the Cowboys probably wouldn't address the tight ends. I've got Brock Bowers as my number one guy. I get him as the sixth best player overall on my board. I've got Sanders from Texas as my second round tight end. He's player number 54 on my board.
Okay.
What I want to get down to, though, is there's a couple guys here that I might have a little bit lower that teams like a little bit better, and we'll see where they end up. And it's a TCU kid, this Jared Wiley from TCU. I've got him in the fourth round. There's people talking about he might be the second best tight end, that people might have him ahead of Sanders or Theo Johnson from Penn State or Cade Stover from Ohio State. But I've got him in the fourth round. I don't think he's a great blocker, but what I do feel like is when you start to talk about players, these tight ends nowadays that can get down the field and make plays. Remember how we see Ferguson make those plays when they run vertical routes and they throw the ball.
The seams. It's beautiful.
This Cherry Wiley can make those kinds of plays for you.
Take a hit over the middle kind of deal.
Catch the ball. He's really, really, really good run after catch. Exceptional in that. Ben Sinnott is another guy who I have in the fourth round from Kansas State. He's player 128 on my board. Here's the guy that was a walk-on at Kansas State that's probably one of the best blockers when it comes to with this group. If you're looking for that kind of guy, Ben Sinnott from Kansas State catches the ball well, kind of a little bit more of the underneath stuff than down the field.
Yeah, but I know exactly what you mean. This guy's blocking.
Yeah.
Try hard.
Point of attack, get after you kind of guy. Really, really good. And my final guy in the fifth round, and I know maybe Dallas is not going to address the tight end, but I was just trying, this is how my groups broke down for today. So it was wide receivers and tight ends. Just want to point out some guys. Eric All from Iowa is another tight end I have in the fifth round. And now here's a guy that, you talk about Sinnott as a blocker. All is a transfer from Michigan. I know that freaks people out when you say Michigan tight end.
Yeah, but I'm thinking Iowa. That's tight end you,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, this guy right here.
I don't want anything from Michigan at this point.
No, this is an Iowa young man right here. And so,
no disrespect to the Wolverines. No, great, yeah, college,
absolutely,
program.
Yeah,
this guy's a Hawkeye.
This guy, yeah. There's a Michigan tight end in this draft, A.J. Barner. That's a pretty good player. But
rather have him than Scooney.
But Eric All, if you're looking for that complete kind of guy, when you talk about the athletic ability, the ability to catch, ability to run after catch, ability to be a point of attack blocker, you know, we all know Iowa runs the football very, very well. And when you look at Eric All, he's a guy that kind of helps him with that. He's also, like I said, the soft hands, the ability to catch over the middle, run after catch, transfer from Michigan. Keep an eye on Eric All, A-L-L, from Iowa. He could be a steal for somebody in this draft as a tight end.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Terrific reports. The draft approaching. We are coming up Thursday night. What time is the draft coverage going to start?
Is it 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock, man.
6 o'clock, yeah.
Our coverage brought to you by our friends at Pluckers. We will be at all 8 Pluckers locations partying with you on opening night of the draft. It's also brought to you by our friends at Zero Res. NFL news today coming up, Chief. Where are you taking us?
The C in Caleb Williams stands for confidence. And just how tough is the Cowboys' schedule going to be this year? That's next year in the Nation.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.